So this morning I want to invite the confirmation class. They have some baskets that are full of fireballs, and they're going to pass those out to you. Everybody needs a fireball, so the confirmation class is going to start handing those out. Everybody needs a fireball. You're welcome to eat your fireball. You're welcome to suck on your fireball, whatever you need. But you might want to also keep your paper, your wrapper close by. So everybody needs a fireball. And while they're passing, I invite us to hear the Pentecost story from the book of Acts, the second chapter. I invite you, as you're receiving your fireball, to hear God's word from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, perhaps a little louder than the crinkle of the fireball paper. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in these days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So fireballs were created in 1954, a time when our country had a bit of an obsession with anything atomic. And so at that time, atomic fireballs were created. They were created by the company Nellifero, a form of a jawbreaker. It's a form of a jawbreaker with an outer bright red color and interior white layers. The spicy flavoring of the candy made it exceptionally popular back in 1954. In fact, the company says that at that time, 15 million fireballs were eaten weekly. The outside layer of a fireball, which some of you may be discovering, is usually a bit milder. And after it's in your mouth for a bit, the small ball of hard candy releases an intense cinnamon flavor. Capsicum is the ingredient that's found in the Fireball that's causing that burning sensation. Fireballs are made from a process where candy is panned in a hot pan that turns over and over and over, where the sugar and the syrup and the flavoring are mixed together, and they turn over and over and over until the round size of the fireball appears. The process originally could have taken up to 2 weeks. By the end of this tumbling process, there are over 100 layers inside of this little tiny fireball that you hold in your hands or have in your mouth or even have pulled out of your mouth at this point. So you know you can find anything and everything on the internet. So there's a candy blog that you can read about all of your favorite candies. Hear this blogger, what they have to say about fireballs. Atomic fireballs are super intense candy. They don't call them fireballs for nothing. They're individually wrapped in about 3/4 inch in diameter with a hot cinnamon taste. I still can't eat one without removing it from my mouth. I'm convinced that fireballs can cure just about anything. You've got a head cold or a sinus infection, you're obese, or whatever the problem might be, just try a fireball. Fireballs, says the blogger, are perfect for those who love to feel the burn. Fireballs are perfect for those who love to feel the burn. Friends, today we have a story from the book of Acts about people who felt the burn. They felt the burn because they'd gathered in one place as they had other times before for an annual Pentecost celebration, a celebration 50 days, and they were there to gather to do some of their Jewish rites and their ceremonial participation in worship. And so they had gathered there and they were there in that place, and all of a sudden they began to feel the burn. They began to feel the burn because first the burn came into the room in the form of a violent, mighty, rushing wind that was louder than anything they'd ever heard. And then these tongues, as of flames of fire, began to fill the room and rest upon the shoulders of those gathered there. And then they all were speaking, wondering what was happening. And they began to testify and to proclaim to the burning desire that they were feeling inside of them. And amazingly, everybody could understand what was being spoken. They were speaking in their native languages, and yet, because the burn was so intense and the power was so mighty, they all could understand. The wind and the fire, they felt the burn. Maybe some of you sitting close to this fire are literally feeling the burn this morning. Others of you may be feeling the burn in your mouth, and you've already taken that fireball out of your mouth. And so I invite you to think about those people at Pentecost. They were perplexed. They were bewildered. They were feeling the burn. Pentecost, friends, is a time about feeling the burn. Some in the crowd said that a drunken spectacle was going on. And Peter says to them, "Oh no, it's just 9:00 in the morning. This isn't some drunken party where people have literally lost their minds." No, says Peter, this is what the prophet Joel said would happen. That God would come down in mighty rushing wind and in flame, tongues and flames of fire, and God would descend upon God's people, and the old men and the young men and the women and the children, they would all experience the burn. They would prophesy, they would dream dreams, they would offer visions, and they would internally be changed. Pentecost is about feeling the burn. It's about being transformed and experiencing the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Feeling the burn is about being filled with the Spirit. John Wesley, the founder of what we call the United Methodist faith, talks about his own heartwarming experience, his own time of feeling the burn. He says, in the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street. Maybe some of you showed up this morning quite unwillingly. So there was John Wesley, and he was listening as someone was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle of the Romans. It was about a quarter to nine, and he was describing this change that God works in the heart through faith in Christ. And while others were falling asleep, it was at this moment that John Wesley felt his heart strangely warmed. He felt the burn. He knew that he did trust in Christ and Christ alone for his salvation. He was being transformed from the inside out. He was feeling the burn. Pentecost is about gifting us all with the opportunity that we can have to feel the burn, to allow the head knowledge that we know about Jesus to become the heart knowledge that we trust about Jesus. To take those things that we know and we can articulate and we can say and to feel them through the very fibers of our being. To feel the burn. To be transformed by the experience and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The church was birthed on Pentecost. The church was given birth on Pentecost because people individually felt the presence and the power of God. It touched the lives of all people, real people, people like you and me, whose lives are touched by the Holy Spirit and who have the opportunity to feel the burn and share the burn with the world around them. Pentecost is about feeling the burn and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to use the gifts and the talents that you have been given, to use who you are and how God has created you in order that you might change the world. Have you ever had those times in your life where you knew that some sort of a gift or a talent or experience that you had had just had to be shared with someone else? Your heart was strangely warmed. You felt the burn inside and you had to share that with someone else. That is the Pentecost feeling. Feeling the burn. Pentecost is about feeling the burn, about speaking the same language. And that language, friends, for the church is the language of love. You've seen our hashtag here at Myers Memorial. Our mission is to love. Some of us spent yesterday out in our community with that hashtag on our back. Our mission is to love. And we simply were in the world, in our neighborhood, in our community, speaking a language that hopefully everyone can understand. They may not know what the language of the church is. They may not be able to articulate the Apostles' Creed. They may not have the head knowledge that you have about Jesus the Christ. They may not have completed four sessions of disciple Bible study. And yet, the language that we greet them with is the language of love. When we feel the burn of the Holy Spirit, all of us, old and young, men and women, we can share love and speak that language to the world around us. Perhaps some of you watched the royal wedding yesterday. And perhaps some of you heard Bishop Curry, the bishop of the Episcopal Church, offer the address at the royal wedding. Bishop Curry said this about love. He said, "The sacrificial, redemptive love of Jesus will change the world." Imagine, friends, when in our neighborhoods, our homes, our governments, our businesses, and our commerce, imagine when love is the way. When love is the way, there is plenty of room for all God's children. Pentecost gives us the ability to speak the same language, and that language is love. And we have a responsibility to take the burning feeling in our hearts and in our souls and carry it out into the world, into the streets, into the neighborhood, into the community, and across the seas in order that the world might know a God of love. A God of love that welcomes all to be a part of God's church. This morning, in a few moments, we get the opportunity to confirm some young people into this church. Into the church universal. The church universal that was birthed over 2,000 years ago when the burn was felt that Pentecost morning. And these young people have spent months studying, accumulating a lot of head knowledge about what it means to know Jesus and to know God and to encounter the Holy Spirit. And this morning they come to profess that they felt the burn, that they're ready to set this world on fire through the gifts and the talents that God has given them. I've had the privilege over the last couple of months to spend individual time with each of them, one-on-one time just talking about what it means to follow Jesus. I asked them if they had favorite Bible stories or favorite stories, verses of Scripture. And over again, I heard of Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These young people are going to change our world through the language of love because they know that Jesus the Christ is where their strength and their power comes from. And today they enter into our mission. It's our collective mission. It's not just up to them and it's not just up to us. It's all of our mission together to feel the burn, to share the burn, to make sure that the world around us knows the language of love. Young people, there are going to be times in your life that are hard and challenging. There are going to be times in your life where you don't understand what's going on, much less how God could be involved in your life. But I invite you to remember back to this day, because in a few moments, your family and your mentors and your pastors, your Christian educator and your youth minister, we're going to lay our hands on you. And that moment in laying our hands on you, we're going to entrust you into God's gracious care. And we do that because we know that whatever happens to you in life, God will be with you. Whatever difficulty you might encounter, whatever challenge that comes your way, whatever the world around you says about you, you remember. You remember the power of that moment when we say, you are God's beloved child, and God is with you no matter what. And then we're counting on you. We're counting on you to help us share love. You see, right now we live in a divided time. A time that we're divided over politics. We're divided over theological perspectives. We're divided over opinions about any number of things. And yet we're in common. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is the salvific and redemptive gift offered to each one of us. And it's the Holy Spirit that burns within us and allows us, despite our differences, to proclaim love. Our mission is to love. May the burn we feel today empower us to share that love with all the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.